morning, everyone. Welcome back to Hope for Today. My name is Lynn Wilson. I'm glad you're joining me today. If you are new to Hope for Today, let me just introduce you to myself. I work here at America's Keswick, and this is a podcast, and it's all about giving you just a snippet in the Bible, a verse or a passage that you can just kind of chew on today. Know that God is working. He's alive. He is working. He's out there. He's doing what he needs to get done so that someday we can spend eternity with him. But right now is not the time. We are not to be in eternity because he has us here planted on the earth to do a job. He has a purpose for us. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. And you know, it's a good thing. God is at work. If you need hope for today, I'll tell you this right now. You need to look around you and you need to talk to people and find out where is God working. I love talking to missionaries. I love hearing pastors talk about things going on in their church. We find out people here all the time are getting saved. If you need hope, you need to listen and hear and see what God is doing and how he's at work right now. In today, in spite of all the junk that's in the news and all the craziness that's going on in life, and maybe even the craziness that's in your own home and family and your own life, God is at work. So today we're going to be talking about gratitude turns what we have into enough. I have this sign right here. This sign here is on my mantle at home. I actually got this at a thrift store. You can believe that. It came from a thrift store. I love this sign. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. I also have a sign in my kitchen that says there's always enough. There's always enough if you take the time to realize that you have enough. So let me give you some examples of how there's always enough. When my oldest son was very young, he wanted to take piano lessons, and we were dirt poor, and having piano lessons was going to be difficult enough, but I found somebody that was a Christian, and she was willing to give it to us for half price. But she said, "You need a piano." "I can't afford a piano." This is before keyboards and, you know, Facebook Marketplace where you can find stuff cheap. So I said to my son, "Well, we're going to have to go to people's homes that have a piano, and I'll, you know, maybe borrow their piano, and I would bake homemade bread and bring it to them as a thank you, and they would let us sit for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, and I was driving all over, and I said, this is not working. I did this for probably about 6 months, and then I said to my son, "We need to pray about this. We need to find a piano." Now, we lived in a mobile home, so we didn't have a lot of room. Long story short, Graham and I prayed, and God provided a school piano, which I don't know the technical terms, but it's an upright piano and smaller and, you know, footprint. And that's what we got. And it fit right into our little mobile home that we were living in. And for 2 years, he took his piano lessons. And for 2 years, he could practice. And when he was done with his piano lessons and moved on to something else, no biggie. It was great. And we were able to gift somebody else that piano who had 8 kids that wanted a piano to teach their children piano lessons. So it worked out great. Was there enough? There was not, in my mind, there was not enough room. There was not enough money. God provided the funds and God provided the piano. Now, my son, I don't know if it was a couple of years before or after, but he was still young. And he needed a winter coat. And you know when your kid's sleeves start, you know, like you're saying, "You need to get a new coat." Well, it wasn't because that was his favorite coat. That's all I could afford. But it got to the point where it was way too small. Winter was upon us. We couldn't afford a coat. We had no money. I said to Graham, "You and Mom have to pray." So we prayed. A winter coat? Do they fall out of heaven? Oh, yeah, they do. Are you sure? It was probably maybe 2 days at the most, maybe 24 hours. It was quick. He was at school. I was at work. And I got a phone call from somebody that said, "Hey, I was visiting over in your neck of the woods And my two boys have outgrown so much of their clothing, and I have so many things, I don't need them. I left a bag of clothes on your doorstep. I hope you can use them. Ooh. I'm like, well, I said, thank you very much, and went home. There were snow pants and coats and hats and in different sizes, no less. Tell me that coats don't fall out of heaven. It was raining coats. I don't know. We had probably 5, 6, 7 coats. Next day, somebody called me. Can your son use a coat? My kid, this and that. We ended up with at least a dozen coats. Probably 8 to 10 coats. A dozen. I don't remember. It was many years ago. Probably 30 years ago. We had coats. They fell out of heaven. Was there enough? There was more than enough. I have a friend that she is a pastor's wife, and she talks about one time when they went to school. He wanted to become a pastor, and so they went off to pastor school, and they were broke, dead broke. And long story short, there was only one can of tuna left in the cabinet, and that was all they had for meals for the weekend. They had no more money. They didn't get paid for a few days, and she had two kids at home, and she's, you know, this is dinner tonight. I have nothing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the next 3 or 4 days. What am I going to do? And there was a family in need at their church. And no details were given other than they are in desperate need of food. And she got a call from, I guess, one of the groups that she was part of in the church. There was a family in desperate need. I can't give up my can of tuna. That's the only can I have. I got two kids I got to feed. Her husband came home from school, and she's told him about the phone call, and he said, we're giving up our can of tuna. She said, I can't do that. I can't. What am I going to do? How am I going to feed my kids? I cannot do that. He said, I think they're more desperate than we are. We had breakfast today. We've had lunch today. We're not starving, and God will supply. Is there enough? There's always enough. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. He was thankful for the breakfast and lunch he had. She was struggling with it. Now, I can understand that the heart of a mom of how am I going to feed my kids. I get that. Whew, did she have hope for today? She felt like she had none, but she listened to her husband. She leaned on what he said. He said, give up the tuna. They went and they gave it at the church. Got to church, there was this table, and the people were putting in packages of meat and bags of potatoes and boxes of cereal, and she came with her little can of tuna, slipped it in, you know, embarrassed. That's all I've got, just put my tuna. And she left, and she got home, and I would say if I remember correctly, it was like maybe an hour later, there was a knock at the door. She opened the door. Bags of groceries. Groceries upon groceries, and she looked. It was her church. Gets me choked up every time. At the provision of the Lord. She was that family that was in need. She was that family. She laughs, she says, here I have boxes of cereal and packages of meat and vegetables and all the rest. And she said, here's my little can of tuna. There's always enough. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. Look at this sign, and I hope this is something you'll write down. I want to read to you in Proverbs 30, and it's 7. Chapter 30, starting at verse 7. And then he prayed, God, I'm asking for two things. Before I die, don't refuse me. Banish lies from my lips and liars from my presence. Give me enough food to live on, neither too much nor too little, just enough. If I'm too full, I might get independent, saying, God, who needs him? If I'm poor, I might steal and dishonor the name of the Lord. You know, I've said this many times that I know God for me. You know, we all know ourselves. Some of you have been blessed financially, and probably maybe some can say they have more money than they know what to do with. I have no idea what that's like. you know, we struggle paycheck to paycheck pretty much every week. And you know what? It's fine because there's always enough. There's always enough, always. And I have had to learn to have the attitude of gratitude. When God provides my paycheck, Lord, what do you want me to do with this check this week? I don't know. I learned a long time ago to pray before I go grocery shopping. How many of you have done that? I had someone counsel me one time and she said, I pray before I go grocery shopping. You know why? Because God's in the tomorrows. He knows what food I will need. He'll know if we're going to get a bag of groceries left on our doorstep, which many times I have. He knows if someone's going to invite us over their home for dinner or there's going to be a potluck at church and they're going to send food home with you. He knows that that roast that I bought that, you know, I was going to make dinner, he knows that that'll actually feed us for three or four meals versus in my mind, it'll feed us for one or two. He knows that it's going to stretch. She was so poor at one point. I remember her telling me she had to cut up rags for toilet paper. I know there's some people that do this because they feel, you know, it's a better earth-friendly kind of thing or whatever. But she had to do it out of necessity. She couldn't afford toilet paper. And then she eventually got out of that situation she was in and married somebody very well off, and she had more money than she knew what to do with. But she never lost that attitude of gratitude where it says, Lord, give me enough to fill my needs, but not too much that I'll deny you. How many of us have been in a situation where everything's wonderful? Oh, how you doing? I'm doing great. My job's going good. My bills are paid. I got a great car. Everything's great. When's the last time you thanked the Lord for that? Oh, hey, excuse me. I worked for that. I worked hard to make that money. I worked hard on my job to get that car. Have we taken the time to be grateful to the Lord for what he's provided? I don't care if your car is, you know, wrapped up with duct tape and rust spots on it. If it gets you from point A to point B, you thank the Lord. If you have the latest and the greatest and the best of the best of whatever vehicle, you thank the Lord for that car, whatever it is. We have to remember there's always enough. That one can of tuna, there was enough. Those jackets that came from heaven, there was enough. That piano and money provided for lessons and the space provided to house a piano, it was enough. But you know why it's enough? It's enough because you have an attitude of gratitude. There are people that have everything in life. I have family that are very well off, very, very well off. And yet you talk to them, they think their life is an absolute disaster. They have no peace. They have no contentment. They have no joy. They have no satisfaction. They can lick a vanilla ice cream cone and tell you that's the plainest thing in the whole world. I'll lick a vanilla ice cream cone and go, oh, was that not the best? It even had strawberry sprinkles on it, or, oh, it was so good. I loved it. It was the, you know. Are you grateful today for what God has provided? You know, my father used to tell me, I remember he would get a $10 gift card. He worked for a company. And as a Christmas bonus, he would get a $10 gift card every year. This is years ago. And my mom would say to him, you think they would do something better for all that you do? Not that my mom was ungrateful. I understand, again, the heart of a mom, like, you know, it's Christmas time. I got kids. I want to provide. She wasn't that she didn't have an attitude of gratitude, but I know where she's coming from. But my dad's answer, and I still remember this, he would say, they don't owe me anything. I worked for them for 40 hours. They paid me for 40 hours. It's a done deal. That $10 gift card was above and beyond. My dad had an attitude of gratitude. And I think to myself, how many things has the Lord provided time and time and time again? Money, vehicles, friendship, food, clothing, housing, life experiences, vacations, walking out into a beautiful day where there's not a cloud in the sky and the sun is shining. And there's a, you know, smell that's just wonderful in the air of flowers or the fall or beautiful white snow in the winter when we want to see the snowy winters or whatever it might be. We still complain. You know, the Bible says, help me to have the right attitude here in Proverbs, that I don't want any more than I need, and that you provide just enough so I'm not, you know, in need where I'm going to have to steal, but I've got enough that I don't ever want to forget where it came from. The Lord says He will provide our needs. He provides spiritually, emotionally, physically, every aspect of our life. I don't understand why He can do something for me so special today. And tomorrow, I have the attitude of like, well, when are you going to give me something? How many of you are like that? I have to write it down in a journal. I have to keep a journal of all the things God provides for me. You know why? Because I don't have very many brain cells that are allotted for gratitude, I guess is the best way to say it. I have to write it down in my book. So when I'm having a bad day, I go in my book and I look it up and I ask myself, when is the last time you thanked the Lord for anything? Thanked Him for getting up and having a good night's sleep, and thanked Him that I had a vehicle to get to work, and thanked Him that I had a job to come to, and thanked Him that I had work on my plate today to do at work, and thanked Him that there's food in the freezer, and thanked Him that I have a husband and children at home, and thanked Him that whatever. There's so much to be thankful for. I'll tell you one thing. If you stop right now, you get out a blank piece of paper, and you get a pen right here, you start writing it down. I want you to think of 10 things that you can be thankful for today. And you might be saying, I have nothing. I have absolutely nothing. You might feel that way. I want you to take your blank piece of paper, and I don't want you to leave your spot that you're in until you find 10 things that you can be thankful for. You will be surprised as you start realizing even the littlest thing that God provided. All of a sudden, oh, wow, I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And it changes your attitude. If you need something today, you are in need of a vehicle, you are in need of money, you are in need of food, whatever it might be. You're in need of friendship, you're lonely. I want you to commit it to the Lord. And then I want you to go back and read Psalm 30, starting at verse 7. And I want you to read that and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to realize there's always enough. Help me to realize that right here, what it says is gratitude. You know, it just turns everything into there is enough. I'm okay. I'm okay. All of a sudden, when you are thankful and you have the heart of gratitude, you're like, I'm just okay. And you know what? If you don't have hope for today, you write those things down, and all of a sudden you realize you have something to be thankful for. And you just have contentment and you have peace and you realize that God is providing, you'll know there is hope for today. It's always in Him and it's always in God's Word. Thank you for being here today. I would love to hear from you in the comments below. We'll catch you all next week on the next podcast.